Sie hören eine Aufnahme des Kepler Salon Linz vom 21. April 2013 zum Thema In Residence. Zu Gast sind Madis Golzakashani, Roda Beshamlu und Idin Samimi Mofakam. Gastgeberin ist Konstanze Wimmer.
Guten Morgen im Kepler Salon. Ich freue mich sehr, dass Sie den Weg hierher gefunden haben, trotz Marathon, trotz des schönen Wetters. Aber es wird ein sehr, sehr spannender Vormittag, mit dem Sie hier belohnt werden, dank der Gäste, die hier schon an meiner Seite warten. Der Kepler Salon wird heute ein bisschen anders sein, als manche von Ihnen, die schon öfter hier waren, es gewohnt sind. Wir weichen ein bisschen ab von dem Format, dass es zuerst einen Vortrag gibt und es anschließend eine Diskussion mit dem Publikum gibt, sondern es wird eine mehr fließende Art der Veranstaltung, eine Mischung aus Interviews mit den drei Komponisten und anschließender Diskussion mit Ihnen sein. Es wird auch ein bisschen anders sein sprachlich. Ich spreche jetzt noch Deutsch, aber wir werden dann ins Englische switchen, damit unsere Komponisten sich auch gut in das Gespräch integrieren können. Für Sie heißt das aber gerne in der Diskussion, Sie können natürlich gerne Ihre Frage auf Englisch stellen, aber wenn Sie sie lieber auf Deutsch stellen wollen, möchten, kein Problem. Wir werden mit vereinten Kräften versuchen, Sie spontan ins Englische zu übersetzen. Alle, die schon vorher da waren und ein Butterbrot genossen haben oder einen Kaffee genossen haben, möchten wir auch gerne erzählen, wem wir das zu verdanken haben. Das Butterbrot nämlich der Bäckerei Mauracherhof. Und mit dem Kaffee wurden wir eingeladen von den Freunden des Kepler Salons. Es liegt hinten ein Gästebuch auf. Wenn Sie Lust haben, nach der Veranstaltung einen Gedanken hier zu lassen, dann freuen wir uns sehr. Ansonsten, wenn Sie sich dann ins Gespräch involvieren wollen im Zuge der Diskussion, bitten wir Sie zu warten, bis Sie ein Mikrofon in die Hand bekommen. Das hat jetzt nicht nur akustische Gründe, damit wir Sie auch besser verstehen können, sondern es hängt auch damit zusammen, dass die Veranstaltungen des Kepler Salons immer mitgeschnitten werden und man sie im Internet nachhören kann. Das funktioniert aber nur, wenn sie vorher auch aufgenommen werden. So, das war die Einleitung. Jetzt geht's weiter auf Englisch. Und deswegen habe ich heute auch ein paar Hilfszettel, weil für mich ist das auch nicht so einfach. Kepler Salon today is in English due to our guests, who are the composers in residence of the Festival 4020. And I may introduce now to you Madis Golzakashani, Roda Beshamlu, and Idin Samimi. A hard welcome. If anybody of you already has had a look into the program of 4020, he will see a motto for the festival. And the motto in German is, wer nicht selbst zum Spiegel wurde, hat nie einen Spiegel erblickt. Ein Zitat of a Persian poet, Maulana Jalal ed-Din Rumi. I try to translate it in English, but I'm not a professional translator. Who never became a mirror himself has never looked into one. The thoughts behind this motto come from Peter Leisch, who is the mastermind of the festival 4020. And he wanted us to remind ourselves that Persia always was a kind of projection screen of our hopes and desires. For instance, there was a philosopher in the 18th century, Montesquieu, who thought Persia is the ideal country for the Enlightenment. Or Goethe, who praised the beauties of Persia in his Westöstlicher Divan. And finally, Antonio Salieri, he wrote an opera about Palmyra, a Babylonian princess. And what attracted the audience in this time most was, for instance, that there was a living camel on stage, and they were all very impressed. But what this is for us is that when we look to Persia, we give into it our own desires and our own culture and our own views on our culture. But today, this was the history. But today, Iran, Persia, is some kind of a country which raises fear when we think of it. It's a kind of cloudy, clumsy fear. We don't know really exactly what makes us so anxious. And the festival should be a kind of invitation for us all to get acquainted with the country and remind ourselves also on our history and how we looked at the country in our history. So, enough talking for the beginning. It's about music. And I think before I want to introduce each of the composers to you, the best way of introducing a composer is to listen to his music. So we would like to start with your music. Yes, that would be great. And he's also the technician who can do it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this wonderful piece of music in the morning. You come from an artistic family. Your parents, they do much cultural work with children's theater and performance art.
Yes.
But you studied classical guitar.
Yes.
And you founded an underground band with your sister. But later on you decided to go to Armenia, to Yerevan, and to study composition there.
Yes.
And he is very successful already because he won several prizes, one in the US and in Switzerland and in Armenia.
Yes.
Yeah. And today he is a member of the Iranian Society of Composers, and he's a tutor for music and a founding member of the composition department of the Music University in Tehran.
Yes.
You can hear some of his compositions on Thursday, 25th of April at 7:30 p.m., namely two compositions. The one is Epitaph, and the other is Pascal's Triangle. And I've listened to the piece on your homepage, and there are followers who comment on the pieces. You can hear there. And one of the followers, he said, this piece is like a mathematic riddle to be solved by the piano. So perhaps this could be a way for us to learn from you. How do you compose? Where do you take your inspiration from? Where comes? Yes.
Okay, first of all, hello. And good morning. I want to introduce this piece of mine. It's a homage to Abul Hasan Saba in memory of one of our greatest maestros of traditional music. He also had some experience on the same thing that I did. Clay modal music are our traditional modal music, microtonal and Western instruments. This piece was commissioned by Omnibus Ensemble, who is based on Uzbekistan, and they commissioned this piece for the Central Asia tour to me. It was last September, I guess. Okay, this is about the music. And about the way I compose, what inspired me for composing? Everything is inspiring me. Let me start like this, that I use our traditional music, our modal system music, as a raw material to compose in Western classical way of composition. So we have our structure of reeds, structure of scales, structure of the form in our music is different than Western music. So I use all of them, all of these materials, with and compose in Western way. And inspiration for me is my history, the history of Iran, the history of Persia is inspired me for everything I do with my music. I have some quotations in my music from our maestros from the past centuries in my other music that you will hear, or there's some of them in my homepage. You can listen to them. And also, I sometimes use quotations from Western musicians, like Bach, like Beethoven. Some quotes only, some quotes. And this is it, I guess.
When you are a founding member of a composition department, and you yourself, you studied in Yerevan, does this mean before you founded the department, there was no composition study possible in Tehran?
There is some universities in Iran who have a composition department, but in this specific university that me and some of my friends start this department, it's University of Applied Science and Technology. It's based before this university is make students more practical, not only with history, with books. They had to, for example, they had the performance department before composition. They have to play more music than in other universities of Iran. So we decide that we have this kind of thing, way of thinking, and we have a lot of rooms. So we decide to open this department, and I think it's already done.
So why did you go to Yerevan?
First of all, because it is very close to Iran, and because of that it's very close to Iran, it was more easy to apply for in their conservatory than the in Europe or USA. It was more easy for me that time, and also I was thinking that the Armenian traditional music is it's very close to our traditional music, and their composers, they have really great composers and musicians around the world. They use the same thing that I do, and so I thought that maybe one great Armenian composer can teach me how to use our materials in this way. So, and I think I was successful.
You're very young, but now you are a member of the Iranian Society of Composers. Yes. So I think it's interesting for us all, what does this society, what are the main tasks, how can you help your colleagues?
I am a member, but I don't do anything in that society. I'm just like an honorable member of the society, that's all.
It will change later.
Maybe. But the society is, there are focused to gather all the miras, heritage of music and culture of Iran in one place. They trying to make a big archive of music and scores in their building, but they are only thinking about that. They didn't. It's a very slow, and they have some social helping in social ways to musicians, composers, performers. And I'm just a member. I'm nothing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, we would like to hear some music from Madis, if it's possible. Could you help us?
Yes, of course.
Sure.
Piano by.
At first, I explain a little explain about the music that in this festival, and after that, I will speak about my music and my works in these days after the finished the. This festival project.
How about action?
Is one of the movements of the world piece for piano, and each movement is based on a picture. This is a style of Persian painting, and the name of this style is miniature. And this miniature is for one of the maestros of Iranian, Mr. Mahmoud Farshtian. And behind each picture, there is a story about the literature and about the epic and mythic story in Persian literature, and more than 1500 years ago.
Can I say
something?
500 years ago.
And every picture have a story, and I tried to write music to combine the story and the pictures, and the whole complete is it will perform in a festival. And can I introduce another music?
Yes.
Before that, I wanted to explain that all of the sound is a wave sound of Sibelius, and ordinary is not played with a human. His music is based on a region of the Iranian, based on ethnic Persian music. And I try to collect all these region music in all over the part of Iran. And this is for the north east of Iran, the region of this music is about in northeast of Iran. The name is this region is Khorasan. And in Persian music, we have the very special elements, special material for composing, like melody, like rhythm, special rhythm, because in Persian music we use a cycle of the rhythm, not only a block of the rhythm. And this is the point that could make a difference Iranian music to the Western music. And try to combine this with the Western knowledge, and I use the Western instruments. And this is a string quartet. Part of the string quartet is about 6 minutes, and I dedicate it to dear Dr. Lois, and we will listen a part of this.
Sorry, I think because we have now the bells from the church, it's very loud. Perhaps we wait a bit. And
okay.
Yeah. And it's over in a minute.
Okay.
But perhaps I introduce to you a bit of her biography. She started piano when she was six. But then she studied electronic engineering, and afterwards composition.
Yes.
And now she works as a
composer,
a composer and a piano teacher also,
yes.
Or only as a composer?
Both of them.
Both, yes.
Composer is a composition is more important, but I like to work with children.
Uh-huh. Why did you start to study electronic engineering and then switch to composition?
It has a complicated story.
Okay.
Because in Iran, there's a special atmosphere for education, and education is really important for the families. And when I was a child, I started music, and all the time was serious things in my life, sometimes more than studying in school. And in high school, I studied two school, music one and math school. And I had a bad chance because my math was very good. And the atmosphere forced me, it's better you be an engineer because of your math. And when I started electronic, after 1 year, suddenly I understood this is not my main way. Why I choose this field, I love to create. I love to make something that in my mind. And but after 1 year, I understand that I'm not happy in that field, and start the course of music near electronic engineering in serious classes. Mr. Rohani, he's one of the great composers, and continue with electronic because it was hard to come back and start again music, because in Iran we had an entrance exam for the university. More than 1 million students take a part in that, and it's a great competition to get a good position in good university and good field. And it was so hard for me to go back and start again. And I decided to move parallel with these two fields. And in master, I studied more to another competition to entrance exam. And at the end, I could study music. But music is more important than electronic. But I believe that it could influence me. And exactly in electronic music, because I like this field too. And at the end, I'm sure all of them can make a knowledge to grow up. And this was the result.
Thank you. The bells have stopped, so we can listen now only to your music.
Thank you.
we will hear more of her music on Wednesday, the 24th of April at 10 p.m., so a late concert. And the piece you will hear there is a commission piece, commissioned by the festival, and it answers to a French composer who I didn't know before. He's a contemporary colleague of Ravel and Fauré, and his name is Charles Caclin. I don't know if you you have already
no
experience. Okay, that is tröstlich for me. but I listen to the music. YouTube is wonderful at the moment because everything you look for you will find on YouTube. And I listen to the music and it's wonderful music. It's a very ruminant music, like an oriental carpet. He composed it between 1913 and 1919. And you will enjoy his piece as well as her piece, which answers to his kind of composition. Would you like to say something about this piece, or should we be surprised?
I'm sure that influenced his work because I know him before the project, and I studied his partitura and his scores. And exactly this music that play in the concert is effect of Iran and this composer when he had a travel in Iran many years ago. And my piece, sometimes it's exactly in the opposite situation or sometimes in a same atmosphere. But the main part exactly is in opposite and in front of this music. But the point that join this music is the Iranian mode, because Caclin used in some parts use the Iranian mode in his piece, and I use it too.
Thank you very much. So we have a third composer in our round, Rodabe Shamlo. I don't know, do you want to start with a piece of music too, or should we start with your biography?
Yes.
Music, oh? We start with music.
Yes.
Fine.
But before I should explain something, the first music that you hear is about is based on one of our contemporary poets whose name is Ahmad Shamlo. And he's very famous in Iran and somewhere else. And I use more than one, and I use some poetry of him, and I make my own story. And it's a dialogue between the männliche Seite and the weibliche Seite von ein Person, sweet English, and he's and because her love is verhängt, is verhängt,
move around.
Yeah. Yes. I become verrückt and then it's the dialogue between the these two parts of a soul, and the weibliche Seite is the same as the Frau that is dead.
Thank you.
نشستیم و گریستیم. ما خنده کنان به رقص برخاستیم. ما نعره زنان از سر جان گذشتیم. کس را پروای ما نبود.
من بانگ برکشیدم از آستان یأس. آه ای یقین گم شده، بازت نمی‌نهم.
Breathe deep.
من پرومته نامرادم که از جگر خسته کلاغان بی سرنوشت را سفره‌ای گستردم. غرور من در ابدیت رنج من است. گوش کنید ای شمایان که در منظر نشسته اید، به تماشای قربانی بیگانه‌ای که منم. با شما مرا هرگز 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 پیوندی نبوده. بر کدام جنازه زار می‌زند این ساز؟ بر جنازه کدام مرده پنهان می‌گرید این ساز بی زمان؟ در کدام غار؟ بر کدام تاریخ میموید این سیم و پنجه نادان؟ مطرب گورخانه به شهرندر چه میکند زیر دریچه های بیگناهی؟ بگذار برخیزد مردم بی لبخند، بگذار برخیزد.
During the festival,
The first one on the 25th of April at 7:30, Talcott, Bitter Water, piece for piano trio. And the second concert on Friday, the 26th, at 7:30 with C. Murk. This is also a commissioned piece by the festival, and it's based on a text by an Upper Austrian poet named Angela Flamm. Angela Flamm went to Iran and to get to know the Iranian poetry, and she found the poem Simurgh, and the poem Simurgh is a medieval poem, and it's about birds who are on travel to a king named Simurgh. And the travel is a kind of travel through human experience, like hope and passion, and also
Gnostic.
Existence.
Gnostic, and mystic.
Mystic,
yes.
Yes. So I think for us it's very interesting. How do you travel through a German text with your music?
You know, it's because of this poem, this poet, it's very, it has so many layers, the poem. It's because of the mystic layers, and it's very complicated. I've tried to learn, and it's very hard to learn the original music, the original poem. It's the Simurgh is the poet of our very very mystical and gnostical poet whose name is Attar, and he's a very special person in our history and in our mystical ways of thinking. And I learned a lot about him. About, I think, for 4 months I just learned, and then the poem of the Angela Flamm, I use it, and then I make them together, and I use both of them, and I find the relationships between these bodies, that something like tall, something like land is body, and it has 7 bodies, 7 land, 7 shtete, and I learn about them, and I compare them with Angela Flamm's poem, and they also are traditional instruments, ney and tombak and santur. And then I make this poem, this music.
Thank you very much. This gives us also an impression how long the preparations are before you make a piece of music. Great.
How long the...
The preparations are. How long you deal with the topic you want to...
Yes. It's about, I think, 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
Or 7 months. Or 1 month.
Or 1500.
So before we want to switch in a discussion with all of you, just a short introduction of your biography.
Yes.
You also come from an artistic family.
Yes.
Your mother is a painter.
Yes.
Yeah. She plays the piano, and she studied composition with a man you will discover also in the festival, Nada Mashayeki, and also Alireza.
Yes.
Mashayeki. Yeah. I think to start the discussion with, but you are at once invited to raise your own questions you want to ask, and if you want in German, and we try to translate. I think what could be interesting for all of us is, how do you become a composer in Iran? Because I think it's slightly different to Europe because of, I think because of the Islamic regime which deals with music quite differently than in European or Western countries. So perhaps you could explain us some kinds of your development through this kind of society. Whoever wants.
Okay, about the situation of music at all in the after the Islamic Revolution of Iran, it was 36 years ago, I guess.
32
years, yes, the revolution was that time. In Islam, there is some kind of music is forbidden. One of them is that kind of music that make you excited. For example, dance music. It's not the dance music that's used in the discos. Also, dance music of traditional dance music. And also, there is you cannot use a single woman voice, for example, as a lead or aria or anything else. You have to. But there is some tricks. You can use two women together singing in unison, and it become okay, no problem. They can sing. Or the dance music, you can have a very music with a beat, and give a name to your music. I don't know anything else, and it's okay. After the revolution, I think the one decade, it was 79, in the year of 79, until the last years of 80s, there was very hard situation for the musicians and the music at all in Iran, because after the revolution, 1 year after the revolution, the 8 year war between Iran and Iraq started, and also, the whole country was really busy thinking about the revolution, and it's not solved yet. The war started, and they had to think about the war. So, and these Islamic laws came in, and they closed the music schools, music universities, art schools, even visual arts. Everything was closed, and everyone focused on the revolution, Islamic revolution, and the war. And after the war, in the last years of the war, was going to finish, some artists decide to think about art in Iran at all. Art cannot be stopped at all, and they step by step going to the big heads of the government, talking to them and trying to find a way to bringing back music, visual art at all to life. They try to find some tricks like I said before. They were trying to find something.
Dialogue.
Yeah, they make some dialogues with the government and the authors of the revolution, the people who was thinking about it, everything. And schools are get opened, universities opened, and everything's back to its normal life. But this was the sad story. And now we have everything. We have music school, universities a lot in, not only in Tehran, in other cities also. We have music universities, the visual arts, theater, cinema, everything. It's not that sad like 3 decades ago. And about the situation of the musicians in Iran, because of the lack of the concerts and the development of music in for about 1.5 decade, 15, 16 years, it was very going backward. And so it's very hard to find concerts in Iran. It's very few concerts, very few festivals, very few places that you can go and perform your music, or the performers want to have recitals or concerts. It's hard. It's not forbidden or not allowed at all. It's okay, but it is very hard for a musician to live in Iran. But fortunately, we have internet these days, and we can find anything we want in internet. Not in Iran these days at world at all. We can find anything we want in internet, and we have good connections with outside of Iran, and it is okay. But also, it's a little bit harder than life of a European musician in Europe, or American, or I don't know, Russian or Japanese. It's a little bit more harder in Iran.
May I ask you both first, because female composers in Europe are, well, they are gaining attention, I think, but there's still very much to do. How is your situation as a woman in Iran, as a woman composer in Iran?
I think in Iran, like other countries, it's something like this is going to be happen, because the educated rate of the women are more than the men. I mean, for example, 17% for women who can enter the universities. Our universities are women, and 30% are boys, are girls and boys. And
did you hear that? 70% are women at the university, 30% are men.
Yes. But working in the society, because of the problems that he told you, is really more difficult than the boys and the men. But it's going to be something happen, and it's really a wave of this. I can feel the wave of this movement in my country. And in compare with yours, it's the proportion is of course lower than yours.
Okay. Do you have any questions or associations or thinkings you want to? Yeah. Well, I tried in English. We have heard now music with, on the one hand, for us, a real feeling Persian tradition. And on the other hand, there was also the instruments. There were the instruments and the also the tradition of the West in this music we heard today. Well, I think I have two questions. One question is this also your intent to make music with this mixture, with this melting pot of cultures, of musical traditions, or is it common for Persian composers that they take the elements of not only Persian music? That was the first question. And the next question is more seen concerning the composers before the revolution. Well, what I know from the history and the political situation of Persia before the revolution, it was very opened also to Europe. And I know many people who worked also in Persia, Austrians, for example. And was there the musical tradition also opened to the West, to Europe? Were there also composers mixing, melting the elements like we heard it today, or was it only Persian musical tradition?
before the revolution.
Yes, yes, sir.
Before the revolution, we had a lot of, still we have, a lot of great composers who, I call them the second generation of Western composition in history of Iran, because the first generation was about 100 ago, and they are all passed away right now. And the second, and they are only the first generation. They were only try to transpose Persian music on Western instruments. They were trying to only play our music, our modal music, on the Western instruments, and it was not a very successful music, because it cannot be like this. You have to think, you have to compose, you have to develop that material so it can be fixed in this instrument. The second generation, who is Nader Mashayekhi, Reza Wali, and Ali Reza Mashayekhi, they are great, Yazdani, Peyman Yazdani, and they are great names in USA and Europe, and they live outside of Iran. They were in the same way that I guess three of all us, that we are the third generation, I think, or the fourth, I don't know. They were in the same way. We are continue their way to use our material on Western instruments and the Western structure and form of the composition. They were doing the same thing. So,
so they were also integrating the roots, the Persian roots, in their music.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. But unfortunately, in Iran, so because of the, I don't know because of what, but we don't have the school of composition, the way of composition. So, so it cannot going to generation to generation by I don't know. Teaching, I don't know, everybody trying to find its own way to using these materials, the materials for composition.
Well, that's a big chance.
Maybe, I don't know.
And I think it's similar to Europe, because we don't have a way of composition school or a history of a composition school we still follow, but there are so many ways you can compose today. So I think that's very similar.
Yes, of course.
But I think in our country it's a little bit different, because when a piece or generally in our art, when a piece or a, for example, a photo, I don't know, a picture, have even a taste of somebody else, it's gained a very, very bad critic between the composers and in the critical. Yeah. Yes, and it makes the musicians very... It makes them not to, they can't really fluent work, you know. They should thinking about everything, and they make themselves sensual.
There was a question over there, and a question over there.
You had your composition first. I liked it very much. The question is there any difference if your composition is played by Persian musicians or foreigners? Because in that I couldn't, it was some parts of Gusher or Marat,
yes,
whatsoever, but I was missing the slang, you,
yes,
know, in this part of instrumental music. So is there for you any difference between...
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Because of the microtonal, it's the microtonal music. And for Eastern ears, Eastern countries, they all have microtonal music, but it's different in the sense of microtone. For example, when this ensemble played my work and sent it to me and asked me how is it? Do you like the performance? I said, it sounds very Uzbek. they use their own way of listening to the microtones. And of course, it will be different and it will be sounds more Iranian and the thing that I wanted if it played with by Persian performers.
So we have the mirror thing again.
My question is related to yours. I just wanted to know how you write it down, this piece. How the way of notation, how do you write it? Do you have a picture of it?
Unfortunately, no, I don't have it with me. The very traditional way of notation in...
How can you write in a traditional way?
It's like glissando.
Just glissando.
Yes. Just very slow glissando and mentioned some comments that this glissando must be very, I don't know, very slow. You have to stop in something like this. They're very similar to the European contemporary composers.
I thought long about how to formulate this question about how maybe the regime influences your music, but then I change the way of the question, and if, for example, tomorrow there would be a revolution and the day afterwards you're completely free in, I don't know, composing everything, how would your music change? So if, for example, tomorrow it's a democratic country and you can do everything, how would your music or your style of music change? Would there be a change or would you... Just continue.
Should I answer you?
Mm-hmm. I think the composer of like us that we doesn't have any relation to the regime and government, and more than 90% is ourselves. And for example, if we have a more freedom for future. We want to mix the arts together. That's exactly that forbidden. For example, he said about the solo women sings and dance and everything that forbidden. We want to work on this situation. But in the whole parts, because we don't have any relationship with the government, we are own and we continue this way.
And may I answer? for me, I will only write an opera with a lot of female singers in it. Only this. Because I feel the lack of this. But no, my music won't change because my music is not related to the way of thinking of the government. It's from inside of me. It's my feeling. It's my thoughts.
But our feeling, I think, will be changed.
Change.
Because the government has the reflection of our feelings.
Of course.
You heard our music. Our music are not so happy, you know. We have deeply inside of us some kind of sadness. And it's a real thing in the history. We can't... all of us, we write for women, and it's not important what the government said because our works are not going to be performed in our country. And it's not important. But our feelings, of course, are going to be changed if we have no dictator in our country.
Sie haben uns durch Ihre Beispiele sehr eindrucksvoll und sehr berührend Beispiele gegeben. Da sind wir wirklich sehr dankbar und ich wollte damit eigentlich nur sagen, dass uns sehr viel verbindet. Es ist so, dass die Trauermusik von dem Ratschenkonzert ganz ähnlich abläuft. Ja? Wobei ich finde, dass die alten Kompositeure nicht unbedingt jetzt abgestuft werden sollen in
weiß ich nicht, also in Folklore, ja, die in Österreich sehr viel nachgefragt wird, oder auch Erevan, ja, das ist sicher nicht der Fall. Es gibt dort und da neuzeitliche Musik und da kann man sich sowieso nur entscheiden zwischen gefühlvoll und melodiös, traurig, gewoll oder provokant und abgesetzt. Das liegt eher den Männern, würde ich sagen, die aufzeigen wollen, dass in unserer Welt und in unserer Zeit nicht alles gut läuft. Und das haben sie mir sehr eindrucksvoll gezeigt, dass, wie gesagt, verbindet uns, was mir abgeht, ein bisschen.
It's only for the translation. If you could stop here, because I can't.
Und zwar geht es mir darum, nicht starre Bilder zu zeigen, wenn ich eine andere Kultur sehen möchte, sondern mir geht eigentlich der zeitgenössische Tanz dazu ab, der eine sehr gute Verbindung wäre, um auch da zu zeigen, dass wir vielleicht doch mehr gemeinsam als trennen können.
Okay, I will try, and you all will help me. She wants to say, first of all, that it was very touching. Your music touched our souls, and it was really impressive for us. And I think that she wanted to express that there are many similarities between our way of music, or our kind of music, and your kind of music, when it's on topics like sadness or joy or emotions or provocative questions. And what she now misses is a kind of performative expression like dance to your music, because she thinks then we would see the similarities more than we do without the performance. Okay, I think I have reduced it. Okay.
May I answer? I guess the sadness and the feeling, it's not only belong to Iranian people. It's belong to the modern humans. It doesn't matter that you live in Tibet, in I don't know New York, in Tehran, or Moscow, or Vienna, or Linz. For me, I'm not a philosopher, but I think this kind of sadness, it belongs to the modern human.
But I want to say something. Our generation, when we born in Iran, exactly in that time, there was a war. And really, I remember the sound of the
bombs,
and we had a special alarm to call the families to go in a safe place. And until now, when I hear this sound in films, I'm shocked. And I'm sure that in that time, the war influenced in our soul. And exactly for women, I remember when I went to the school, I was 6 or 7, and it was the force, very special forms, and we had a special lessons that Dov didn't speak about, the lovely word, beautiful word, and I'm sure that influenced a lot, exactly the women, and until they finished the university, and all of them in our life. Some part is good, some part is bad. The good part that forced us to research, to find what's the truth, what's the real world. And the bad part is the influence. And I think, I know why my music sometimes in sad situations, sad atmosphere, I think because of this.
Do you have any further questions?
A comment and a question. The comment is congratulations for this inspiring inputs, and to the festival organizer as such for this festival, because it's such an inspiration and it challenges the perception in our country and in the Western world that Iran, that's something just linked with the axis of evil only. So this, thanks for this opportunity, and I hope many people will take it up in the in these coming days. My question is just simply, am I right that only in the last piece was a traditional instrument?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. It
and the other pieces, they were composed for Western instruments. So do you compose for or including traditional instruments more frequently, or is the main focus on Western instruments?
Rudab uses more, she's mixing Western and Iranian traditional instruments together for in her music and her ensembles. Like in this piece of her, she used the santur, I guess, dombak, and ney. It's a santur. It's like kanon, Arabic kanon, you know. Yes. Tombak is a percussion instrument of ours. Ney is like a flute. And sitar. Sitar is a plucked instrument. She had used this.
And I use it, the sitar, in a bit extended technique, and not as usual. And the about the music, I should add something that the clavier, the piano that you heard, is not the similar that I noted, because it's just a sample, and it's inside. All of the piano part is inside the piano, and it's not just like that. And I use in my clavier trio that you will be, if you come to our concert, you will hear it. I use the plugging of sitars and the plugging ways of sitar techniques on sitar and our plugging instruments on the piano and inside the piano. And the clavier all the time is going to play in the inside the piano.
So I join the thanks. I think you made us curious. You opened our ears for your music. And I'm very much looking forward to the concerts coming on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There's a workshop on Saturday in the Bruckner Uni if you want to learn more about traditional instruments. Thank you so much for your coming.
Thank you for
having me. Great days in Austria, in Linz. Hopefully sunny days.
Yes.
In Linz. Vielen Dank Ihnen auch fürs Kommen. Ich habe jetzt noch auf meiner To-Do-Liste Ihnen zu erzählen, was kommen wird im Kepler-Salon. Kommen Sie am Montag wieder, 19.30 Uhr. Da kommt Bert Fragner, Iranist und Orientalist, und erzählt noch viel mehr, als wir heute erwähnen konnten, zu Persien. Ein Land reich wie ein Kontinent an Vielfalt und Widersprüchen. Und eine Woche später, am 29. April, geht es hier um Besitzen oder, in Klammer, noch nicht, psychologischer Besitz und Konsumentenverhalten. Da ist hier zu Gast Bernadette Kamleitner, Professorin für Konsumentenverhalten an der Wirtschaftsuni in Wien. Vielen Dank noch einmal fürs Kommen und einen schönen Sonntag jetzt gleich draußen im Trubel.